This podcast is supported by JBS International Incorporated through a grant award from the Health Resources and Services Administration, HRSA, of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, with 0% finance with non-governmental sources. The contents are those of the author and do not necessarily represent the official views of, nor an endorsement, by HRSA, HHS, or the U.S. government. For more information, please visit HRSA.gov.
Welcome into another episode of Rural Roads, the R-Corps podcast. I'm your host, Tim Rabel, with JBS International. Before we jump to today's episode, a few R-Corps TA reminders. Have you visited the R-Corps TA portal recently? Hopefully, that answer is yes, because it is the best way to stay up to date with all the latest and greatest R-Corps resources, info, and other opportunities. From the portal, you can dive into various toolkits or templates, engage with different learning modules on the LMS, visit our core corner and read past newsletters, rewatch past webinars, you get the idea. Also, be sure to connect with our core TA on social media. You can find us on Facebook, X, and Instagram. And now, let's get to today's episode.
Welcome into another episode of Rural Roads, the R-Corps podcast. I'm your host, Tim Rabel with JBS International. And today we have Jason Harris back on to conclude the Mindfulness in the Workplace mini-series, wrapping up with today's topic on mindful communication. Thanks for joining as always, Jason.
Thanks, Tim. Glad to be here.
So we had those first three parts. You talked about like the foundation of all this. You talked about focus and balance. So for folks who are just tuning in to the mini series for the first time, be sure to check out those first three parts earlier in the month. Jason, any kind of recap or things you want to add about those topics before we jump into today's discussion on mindful communication?
Just quickly to recap, I guess foundation was really just about understanding what mindfulness is, what it is not, and how it could be utilized in the workplace setting. The session two of resilience or coming back to balance was really about understanding how chronic stress can negatively impact not only our health and wellness, but our outcomes at work and how mindfulness can be utilized throughout the day to bring us back to a place of balance again and again. And then our third session of focus was really understanding a lot of the challenges that compete with our attention and how mindfulness techniques can really be utilized to help us to promote our focus when we want to. And at the end of today's podcast, I'll recap a few of the tips from those previous three sessions. But today, we're really talking about mindful communication, as you said, and we're going to identify some of the challenges related to communication and understand how mindfulness can really be effective for mindful talking and listening and how important that is.
Wonderful. Yeah, I'll say too, those, I'm biased, but those first three episodes, if folks are listening, be sure to check them out. I found them so helpful, and imagine grantees will also, not just for applying within any kind of work that they may be doing, but just individually, I found it helpful, especially a lot of the tips and techniques, and really enjoyed the conversations thus far. But like you said, we're on mindful communication today. Maybe you could start off with just what does that mean specifically when we're talking about that aspect within the workplace, mindful communication?
Yeah, so really it's about how important communication is. And when we're talking about mindful communication, what we're talking about is, are we really listening? That's one piece to it. And the other piece to just kick things off is thinking about why communication matters. So just to take a moment for yourself and for the audience to think about that question for a moment, just for yourself, think about why does communication matter? And if something gets in the way, is it really a big deal? And I'll pose that question to you, Tim. Why do you think communication matters in the workplace?
Yeah, it's a good one. I think there's like maybe layers to it. One, at least for me, I value the relationships with colleagues and I want to get to know them and them to get to know me. It's just something that feels good and also has work benefits, if you will. So being able to communicate, and whether it's on the surface, like their preferred communication method, oh, they prefer messages over Teams versus emails, or just how they think about the world and perspective on certain work projects. I think there's that layer. And then I guess the only other piece that came up was just we're a team and have some shared kind of collective goals in terms of what we want to accomplish and output, if you will. And being on the same page, which I would think implies some inherent solid communication, will only help in that way. So those are the two that come to mind for me initially.
Yeah, it's super important and it's really powerful to communicate well. And you hit on a lot of the important aspects, building and deepening your relationships with your colleagues, clarifying goals, resolving conflict, maybe motivating and inspiring others, providing direction, building consensus, and defining coordinating activities. The list goes on. We could all think of lots of different ways that communication is so important, but it doesn't always go well. And so I just wanted to touch on some of the challenges to communication, and specifically to speaking and listening when we're having a Zoom meeting or sitting in an in-person meeting or listening to a client or a patient. We can really interrupt communication by having our buttons pushed or being triggered because our ego can get involved and not being present. And that's really a big one. So we know, we talked about in previous sessions how often the mind wanders. Up to 47% of the time, our mind is wandering away from whatever it is that we're trying to focus on. So being distracted and preoccupied, feeling rushed, just tuning out, not being aware of your own emotions or kind of what emotions other people may be experiencing. Not that we can predict that, but we can clue into some of the cues. Maybe not feeling seen or heard. Maybe you feel like you're not being heard. And again, I mentioned our ego being triggered. So sometimes we have the feeling that we need to be right. We have something to prove, or that we might feel slighted, or maybe we're trying not to look bad, or we're trying to impress somebody with something that we know. So these are just some of the challenges that come into play in communication that can make it so that it doesn't go as well as we hoped.
Yeah. Yeah. I have, as you were saying that, I actually have maybe a philosophical kind of question for you in this topic. So just over the years, it seems like society overall has trended more towards instant gratification, right? So we can get things, you can order something off Amazon and get it same day, or you can, I'm sure even movies and TV shows are structured differently where they try and get folks engaged quicker, attention span shortening, all of that. I'm wondering if you think that carries over into, I'm sure already so many more people text than ever before, but I wonder, do we also write and read in a way that's more, I don't want to say necessarily impulsive, but instant, and so that mindfulness piece doesn't come out as naturally as maybe it once did because everything's just so much quicker, faster paced.
I think that you really hit it there, because that's the challenge of today's modern workplace for many of us. I'm not going to speak for everybody and for our society in general, but and part of what we go over in the foundations piece, as well as some of the other sessions, in terms of how quickly everything is moving. And that goes into the expectations around communication, instant messaging, the technologies that we're connected to, our phones, and that plays into the distractions, and everything competes for our attention and our time. And that does take away from the spirit, so to speak, of mindfulness, which is trying to be present in this moment and trying to pay attention to things with all of our awareness and our attention, and to really think about what we're doing and being aware of what we're doing when we're doing it, rather than being scattered in all kinds of different directions and doing things as quickly as possible and in a rush. And that leads into the communication piece, part of those challenges of, we've all experienced it. Many of us have done it. I'll speak for myself. I've done it where I've been on a Zoom call with somebody and they're talking and I may be looking at my phone. And as we get into some of the tips and pointers, that's a no when it comes to mindful communication. If you're on a Zoom call with somebody and you have the camera on or off, you really want to try to be present with that person and showing in whatever way you can showing that person that you're really paying attention and to listening to what they're saying. And I don't know if you've ever experienced it, but I have, and I've also been guilty of it. But yeah, when you're talking to somebody and they're looking down, if it's on a Zoom call or if it's in person and they're looking at their phone while you're talking to them, or if you're on a Zoom call and the person's looking down and maybe their head or eyes are moving all over the screen or that sort of thing, and you might get the feeling like, I'm not sure the person's listening to me.
And it's, yeah, I think that's one thing where it's nice how well we can connect over Zoom or Microsoft Teams, other platforms. And at the same time, certain things like that may not happen as frequently in person. Yeah, there's certain habits or tendencies that I'm sure will collectively develop for all of us, trying to multitask or do five things at once and not being fully present in those conversations.
Yeah, and part of the key we discussed in some of the previous sessions is, okay, we know we live in a day and age, and we know we're in an environment where we've got to multitask, even though the research shows that it makes us less effective, less productive, and impacts our IQ and that sort of thing in negative ways. But we still know that there are times where we have to, what we're really doing again is task switching. So switching from one thing to another. And we may feel, and there may be times where we do have to do that in our current environment, but there may be times when we don't have to, but we're so accustomed to it that we do it anyways. And especially when it comes to things like checking messages or checking the phone or checking email, as we talk about communication today, while we're communicating with somebody, if you can, if it's possible for you, if it's possible that you could check your phone after we finish our meeting, that would be a key element to mindful listening, is starting to practice some of those newer habits of, okay, I don't have to check my phone for this next 50-minute meeting, so I'm going to go ahead and put it down and put it away from me and make an intentional act to not pick up and look at my phone while I'm in this meeting, because I don't have to. If you have to, if you're waiting for an emergency or you're going to hear from your boss or something, great, we all understand that. But if you don't have to, don't do it. Learn that new habit. Try a new habit. And we'll go through some of those habits today. And really, that's kind of part of the recap, is pick two or three new habits that you want to try to improve upon your ability to be present and to really listen.
Great. Yeah, that's what I was going to ask next. You touched on it a little bit, but what does it look like from theory to practice, examples of mindfulness, mindful communication in the workplace? And then you gave that example over Zoom calls, what that can look like. Are there some similar kind of tips or examples there? I'm sure carry over to the in-person conversations. Other examples, is it take place even over text-based messaging, like with emails or?
I think it can, Tim. I think that the real spirit of mindful communication and speaking and listening really comes down to staying curious and receptive. Because as we were talking about some of those challenges before, what are some of the things that might stop us from becoming receptive? Maybe we're not feeling heard, or maybe we want to get our idea out there. Maybe we feel, again, maybe feel triggered or slighted. We've all maybe experienced times, if everybody listening and yourself, I'm not going to ask for any examples, but think of a time when you may have felt your ego triggered during a conversation at work. And when that happens, our ability to listen tunes out. So the practice of mindful listening, and we can touch on how this could transfer potentially into emails and text message as well. And it goes back to some of the previous sessions too, in relation to just practicing mindfulness in general, which helps you take that sacred pause to think before you respond. For example, in an email, it triggers you. Maybe you feel offended or upset in some way, and you type out your email response really quick and hit send, and then immediately wish you could take that email back. So practicing mindfulness is going to increase that space between feeling that trigger from that email, pausing, and maybe you don't respond until the next day or until later in the day, or maybe it's just 5 minutes later, but you give yourself time to think and process and really choose how you want to respond to that external, to, in this case, an email or whatever the external stimulus may be or the external trigger. It's really about staying curious and receptive, being present. And when we talk about getting back to just the communication, say on Zoom or in person, You want to reduce your distractions, going back to the phone, putting that away, focusing your attention on the person that you're communicating with. Don't try your best not to prepare your replies while the other person is speaking. And that's really about being present. And then we get into our emotions, noticing our emotions. And the more we practice mindfulness, the more aware we become of our own emotions. So being able to check on what and know what emotions are present in me during this conversation right now, noticing the mood signals from others, noticing maybe that person's having a bad day or they're stressed out. I need to give them some grace here. And really notice what emotions are affecting your ability to be present, and be aware that there may be emotions that are affecting the other person's ability to be present. But really staying curious and receptive is the key. And I think this is where it can transfer over to whether we're talking in person, on Zoom, on text message, on Teams, on whatever it may be, on email, acting as if you are truly being curious, asking questions, keeping an open mind, not trying to compete with other people or one-up them or whatever it is, or impress or defend, and trying not to take things personally. So it really comes down to having some humility, some awareness of your own emotions, of your own triggers. And the practice of mindfulness can help us to become more aware of those things.
I was going to ask if you could speak a little bit more too on the sacred pause piece, because we got into that last time, and I think it's a neat concept that has quite a bit of benefits, and I know it applies here as well. But what do you mean when you say that?
Yeah, that's so that when I speak of the sacred pause, it's really, and there's a quote attributed to Viktor Frankl that for me captures it well, which we've gone over in the past, but it's really been one of the aspects of mindfulness that has been most helpful in my life, in my communication with other people, as well as in the workplace and just in life in general. But it's the ability to pause in between stimulus and reaction. So you could call it stimulus or a trigger. So something happens either internally or externally that causes some type of feeling inside of you, or that may cause you to want to instantly react. And through the practice of mindfulness, from my experience again, where it's been most helpful, is it helps to grow a space in between stimulus and response. And that's really where it connects to that Viktor Frankl quote. But that space between stimulus and response, and within that space, as the quote goes, lies our ability of growth and freedom. So what that really means to me is, in terms of mindfulness, is that when I get stimulated from the external world, or it could be my own internal world, I'm able to grow that space, that pause that I'm able to take, to where I'm really able to begin to choose how I want to react to whatever that stimulus is or that trigger is, rather than just instantly reacting. And I've worked with both kids and adults in the past in counseling and in other environments. And I've had kids that I've been working with or speaking to that, for example, might get really angry at a teacher and instantly react in a way that gets them in trouble. And when we've worked on that through some of these basic skills of practicing that pause and some basic mindfulness skills, I'm just remembering one specific example of a kid coming to me to say, hey, it worked. Like, the teacher upset me. I was able to pause and bring my attention to my breath. And then I decided not to do what I did before, which got them in trouble. And so that's just a little basic example of what I'm talking about. But in other words, somebody says something that upsets you, or an email comes across that upsets you, where I'll speak from my own experience in the past. I might be someone who's quick to respond in a way that afterwards I might think, oh, I wish I wouldn't have responded that way. Or you might move too quickly in a decision that you're making at work, because something happens or something occurs and you need to make a quick decision, but you might have made it too quick, and it might lead to additional confusion or additional challenges or problems that now have to be addressed. And so that sacred pause through mindfulness, the more we practice, the more we're able to be stimulated from the outside or triggered, we're able to take that pause intentionally and know what we're doing when we're doing it, and really think about how we want to respond and respond in a way that's mindful and intentional instead of just kind of emotional reaction.
Yeah, no, that's a great example and a wonderful explanation. And really, aside from, in my mind, at least some professions that might require very quick reactive responses, gosh, everyone could really benefit from implementing that more. I know just when I first hear something like that, a concept like that, I just relate it to my own recovery process. And it's such a foundational kind of pillar of recovery, right? It's like getting to that next thought. I always remember this counselor whose name was Jason, by the way, go figure, but said recovery is about not doing what feels good right in the moment, but doing what's best for us long term. And in a way, that's like the sacred pause.
Yeah. And that can be challenging because, as you said before, we are kind of, some of us may feel that we're in a society or in a world that is a lot about instant gratification, where we have everything at our fingertips, a lot of technology, not everybody, again, not to speak for all, but we are in a fast paced world. And that does flow over into our thoughts, our thinking, and our reactions. And I really like how you put that, of really being able to choose, is this decision I'm making right now because it feels good, or is this the best decision for me in the long run? Right. And that can have such a huge implication on the outcomes of everything we do, whether it's in work or our personal lives.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the next right thing? That sort of thing. Yeah. Great. Are there any other things that come to mind on when this is happening in the workplace and it's going well, what does that look like? So anything else you wanted to touch on there? And then as we start to wrap up, just if you wanted to dive in a little bit to any particular tips, strategies, suggestions as we close things out.
Yeah, I think one key aspect here, and this comes from the book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, but there's a quote that's, seek first to understand and then to be understood. The key to mindful listening is really about trying to understand where the other person's coming from before we're trying to push our thoughts and ideas and trying to be heard ourselves. Can really help you become a more effective listener. And just think about it. Imagine a world where 90% of the people were talking and 10% of the people were listening. And then imagine the opposite, where 90% of the people were listening and 10% of the people were talking. And which world would you rather be experiencing? So that's just a food for thought for people to think about and to really think about how important listening really is when it comes to effective communication. Listening is a huge piece to it. So, and thinking about how we make other people feel when we're communicating with them, and how much that stands out. When it comes to mindful listening, some of the tips would just be to really be open. Practice humility and patience and curiosity. If you're in a situation where you're in person or you're in Zoom or you're seeing the other person or hearing the other person that you're talking to, really listen to the words that they're using and the pace and the volume and tune in. It's about being curious. Keep a posture and an expression that is showing the other person that you're really listening and engaged. And this is so important because in the workplace, whether you're a supervisor or whether you're a peer or whatever your role may be, if you're in the role of listening to another person and they don't feel heard, that doesn't feel good. And if whoever you're listening to or supposed to be listening to, if they don't feel like you're genuinely listening to them when you're talking to them, it doesn't feel good for them. And that has all kinds of other implications. So it's really important that we do a good job listening to folks. And there's lots of things that we can do instead of listening. And so just think about some of these things that you do. And I think that we all do them from time to time. At least I have done every single one of these that I'm just going to briefly go over. And we may judge people. We may judge right away and think, I wouldn't have done it that way if someone's telling us how they might do something or did something. We may jump right into a hijacking where we say, oh, the same thing happened to me. Let me tell you about that. Or we might start giving advice right away. Oh, okay, I get what you're saying. Here's what you need to do instead. Or you might be someone who debates. Actually, I see it differently because I think my idea is better, is what you may be thinking. or a common one, at least for me, which is rehearsing, where we may be really thinking about what we're going to be saying next while the other person's talking to us. And I'm sure a lot of us have had that experience where the person's talking and next thing it's your turn and you're a little bit lost. You're not sure what that person was saying or what you're supposed to respond to. That's not an effective skill for listening. So we're all going to do these at times. It's all about balance. But part of the practice of mindful listening is thinking about which one of these do you do most often that interrupts your ability to listen, and become aware of it, become mindful of it, and try to do it less, try to focus in more. So just some quick communication tips when it comes to listening. Again, take an alert posture, remove the obstacle, check in at the beginning of meetings and or check out at the end to show the person that you're listening, whether it's in person, through the screen, however it is. Make sure everyone is seen and heard in meetings, has equitable opportunity to share and talk and be heard. And tips for speaking is really listen before speaking. So listen and ask questions. Pause for understanding. Summarize what others say. So what I'm hearing you saying is that can really help a person feel heard, and it can help you all actually hear what they're saying by summarizing, making sure you got it right. If you notice your emotions are strong, name them to yourself. If you really have a close relationship with the person you're talking to and you feel safe and comfortable, share with them. I'm really got something bothering me today, so I'm a little bit less present than I usually am. Take a break when it's necessary to reset. Some discussions that happen in the workplace can get emotionally charged. Take care of yourself. Take a break. Practice some of the micro practices and other practices that we've discussed. So those are just some of the tips related to listening and speaking, which really leads us into just a quick recap.
Yeah, let's hear it.
So what we really talked about today was some of the common challenges in communication, which are not being present, tuning out of emotions, not being aware of the emotions that we have flowing through our body, possibly getting a triggered ego. We're all human. It happens. Mindfulness can really improve our communication by increasing our presence, our ability to notice what's going on with ourselves and our emotions, and gives us the tools to stay aware, to stay curious, and to stay receptive to what other people are saying, realizing that maybe our idea is not the only idea, or maybe it's less important to get our idea across right now and really hear what other people are saying and consider that maybe that'll work. And mindful listening and speaking play an important role in our communication, ensuring that people feel heard, ensuring you understand what people are communicating, and thinking about how we make other people feel, because that plays a huge role in many different outcomes. It really covers our journey, Tim, as far as our foundation, our coming back to balance in session two and focus, and just a brief discussion on mindful communication, why it matters, and how we can potentially be better listeners, which can really help to improve the communication in the workplace and in our lives in general. As the last step, the kind of parting next steps is just think about two or three things that might interrupt your ability to be an effective listener, communicator, and try to implement two or three different new habits. Keep practicing the mindfulness. We went through some example practices in the first three sessions. There's resources posted associated with those sessions that folks can go to find apps or training to practice. But that's really the key, is to keep practicing. And the more that you practice mindfulness, the more that you'll notice the benefits in your life and all these areas and domains that we've discussed, to include your ability to communicate effectively, which means both listening and speaking in ways that are really mindful, thoughtful. So that kind of wraps it up for what I have for the mindful communication piece.
Yeah, you laid it out there really beautifully and articulately. So I appreciate not just today's episode, but the whole mini series. And yeah, I love the piece and the kind of emphasis on the listening component of it, because you hear communication and you think, oh, okay, communication, how I'm communicating my words, you know, how I'm talking, but it's a two-way street. You got to listen as well. There's, you know, multiple parties within the conversation in that sense. So yeah, thank you again, Jason. You did a wonderful job and really appreciate you making all the time today and, you know, throughout the month to help put together this mini series.
You got it, Tim. Yeah, a lot of things can get done when everybody involved feels heard and seen. So
I absolutely agree.
That would be the last point I make. Just help your team, your peers, and everybody in your life feel heard a little bit more and seen a little bit more. And think about how much listening really plays a role in communicating, because we all do a lot of talking, at least I do.
Yeah, it's a perfect point to end on. Thank you again, Jason. For folks that were listening, thank you for tuning in. We hope you found the Mindfulness in the Workplace mini-series helpful and can apply some of the tips that Jason shared throughout the month. Once again, appreciate you listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks a lot, Tim. Have a great day, everyone.